The Holy Gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Children ages 3 through 10 are invited to join Katie for story time, singing, and prayers. They'll return at the peace.
O God, our great companion, lead us ever more deeply into the mystery of your life and ours, and make us faithful interpreters of life to one another. Amen. Amen. Turning points, all of us have them, and so do churches, and so do nations. Times when we move out of stuckness, times when we move into a new future, leaving old allegiances or old ways behind. In the Gospel this morning, in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, we heard this about Jesus. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face. It's such a strong image. It's an image the prophet Isaiah used when he said, "I have set my face like flint," setting our faces. What is that like? Jesus' resolve to go to Jerusalem was arguably the most important turning point in his life. The move from itinerant teacher, gathering, healing, comforting, especially outcasts of every stripe, to the one who would go to Jerusalem and confront the powers of empire and would die doing so. We can only imagine the agonies of prayer and uncertainty, the tortures of not knowing, of fearing for his very life, even as Jesus recognized the power of God at work in him to bring about challenge and change. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. In that one short verse, we have a glimpse of a turning point, and despite its spare language, it can conjure up an experience that perhaps we all can envision, or have already had, maybe several times over. I want to talk about such times, briefly in the context of our nation, then in the context of St. Columba, at this turning point in our history, and then more personally. There is such turmoil in our country right now that it seems natural to wonder if we are approaching a watershed moment, and to wonder if we are facing a turning towards a chaotic, lawless time of autocracy, or, far better, whether we will collectively set our faces with new resolve towards protecting our democracy. The setting of faces is needed, not the bowing of heads and the bending of the knee. Where is the resolve that will kindle and bring about a new vision for our nation? Where are the ones who will set their faces in Congress, in our courts, in the media, who will set their faces towards the incredibly hard work of repairing and resisting the destruction of our democracy and renewing it? Who are they? Where are they, and when? Okay, I said briefly about our nation. That's it. But I do indeed hope that this troubled time will be a turning point in a better direction. And perhaps reasons for hope are lurking in surprising places. I did see one lovely fleeting sign of our collective goodness two Sundays ago, early in the morning at Fort Reno Park. I had been there briefly the day before, on Saturday, when over 500 people gathered in a No King's Day witness, a totally mellow scene with a band, people dancing, picnickers, children of all ages, all different races. It was a wonderful scene. It was a great and lovely moment. But the really lovely moment for me was the next morning. I went back there early, early with my dog Sparky, and I was expecting there to be, you know, all the general leavings after a big day like that, lots of litter, all kinds of bottle cans for my dog to want to carry around, and trash and litter all over the place. But as I came up over the hill, it was a misty, beautiful, clear morning, there was nothing. The park was completely clean. There was not one scrap of paper, just smooth, rolling grass. My heart lifted with warm feelings for our fellow citizens, gathering together in great numbers, enjoying community, doing no violence of any kind, supporting a cause, and then leaving the park beautiful and pristine. It was just good people cleaning up after themselves. Not exactly a setting of faces, but for me it was a sign of hope. So then, I arrived here for our wonderful Columba Day celebration and the greeting of our new rector, Hillary. She preached to us about pilgrimage and what it is to move through a transition, to prayer and to fast and pray. And as she well pointed out, although we may think about her arrival as a turning point in our parish history, it is actually a part of a much longer, more gradual process. That process has been undertaken with great care by our wardens and vestry, our staff, and all of you. Hillary talked about liminal, in-between times, and how it is necessary as we go through this leadership change to experience this liminal time. She talked about her own time of saying farewell to a beloved parish and the life there that she had enjoyed for 12 years. There's a sadness for them, and for her too. I'm imagining her setting her face to this new challenge, anticipating great joy and fulfillment with us, but not without challenge. And we too, besides fasting and praying in these months before September, might think in terms of setting our faces towards a new chapter and all the challenges and accomplishments and joys that it promises. I bear in mind here that when Jesus set his face, it was in the near term to suffering and the death of a martyr. The triumph of resurrection and the birth of the church came only after that. So when I talk of our nation and our parish and important turning points, I don't insist that they involve the suffering and death that Jesus faced. The analogy is not that apt. My main point is that the setting of one's face, when it happens, can be a big deal. I'm talking about setting one's face as a positive move to a turning point, to a needed change. But there is another kind of setting one's face, which can be the opposite. One can set one's face out of pure stubbornness, out of resistance to change. That was not Jesus. It may have been the Pharisees who condemned him. And there is a stubbornness in parts of our body politic who set their faces against cultural change and tried to make great again what was never great except for a privileged sector. The resolve needed to move forward constructively can be in tension with a stubbornness that clings to the past. To set one's face, as Jesus did, is to face bravely into a new future in the hope and confidence that one is on the right path and that God's love is guiding. I've spoken of turning points and setting our faces in our national and parish life. But this verse in this morning's gospel, Luke 9:51, and he set his face towards Jerusalem, has personal resonance as well. As I thought about that striking verse and the weight of Jesus' decision set in, I realized that there can be moments like this for all of us, personal turning point moments, personal 9:51 moments. I got the phrase 9:51 moment from a Substack post by one of our former rectors, Bill Tully. He recently wrote about the importance of recognizing such moments and how much that one verse, Luke 9:51, has stuck with him over the years. 9:51 moments. And I then remembered the old Paul Simon song that I had found so moving years ago. It includes these lines. There is a moment, a chip in time, when leaving home is the lesser crime. When your eyes are blind with tears, but your heart can see another life, another galaxy. In my case, that 9:51 moment was indeed a chip in time. And it took place sitting alone in a car dealer's office one afternoon in 1998, when I realized I had to leave my marriage and indeed set my face to doing exactly that. And yes, of course, there were tears and suffering, and there was the death of that marriage. I set my face into that painful time, moved out of the stuck place I'd been in for years. And just as in the passage with Jesus, others felt rebuked, even unfairly. My decision struck some as harsh. But once made, I didn't look back. I stopped working on what was behind me and moved into a new chapter. And what that new chapter brought was, as it says in the song, another life, another galaxy. What have been your 9:51s? What have they been? When have you set your face? When has it been worth it? When might it be? What are the costs? These are questions for us all and for our country as well. Amen.